like to ask you, if you would, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. Here in Jeremiah, the Lord is declaring destruction and gloom to the lost. Days of punishment is the heading of my Bible at the top and on the page before it. Jeremiah weeps. Folks, a day of reckoning is coming. Oh, how the world has passed by teaching and preaching the day of reckoning. It's coming, and we will stand before the throne of all glory and give an account. The chaff will be separated from the wheat, the sheep from the goats. Some will hear these words as we read in Luke chapter 13, verse 27, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." And others will hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." The Lord of all creation is angry with the wicked. Judgment is coming. And many in pulpits today are speaking only of a love. A love that's not even true love. It's a love of their own imagination. And they completely turn away from the truth of what sin is. The problem with the world is people don't understand what total depravity is. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about in your heart, what does it mean to be totally depraved? Have we not looked at examples in Ezekiel at how the Lord teaches us that the people of God were just as all the rest of the world at one time? We were all dry bones. Have we not seen the example that God gives us in Lazarus of how that we are dead in trespasses and sin, unable to help ourselves, unable to do anything for ourselves? I hate that story that is given out by some in some churches. It's like Christ is a medication. It's right there on the post next to your bed. If you would just reach out and grab that medication, that's malarkey. That was close to what Mike said I could say earlier. I thought better of what we were talking about. It's not in scriptures. It's not in truth. Our Lord says it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Do you know our Lord hates? Some of you will recall about the Gideon's representative who showed up here, and he said, "We don't talk about hate." When I asked him about Malachi 1, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." "Oh, we don't talk about hate. We only talk about love." If God's word talks about it, shouldn't we? If our Lord gives us warning after warning after warning of these things, shouldn't we heed to them? Shouldn't we take heed, pay attention to? Our Lord, the Lord of glory, hates with perfection, and he hates all sin. Ooh. Wait a minute. But I'm a sinner. Our Lord hates sin with perfection. Sin must be punished. All of creation has been cursed by sin. When Adam sinned, our Lord cursed everything. He said, "Cursed is the ground that you're walking on." Everything, the world, the earth, the trees, all of this is going to burn up. The whole universe is going to burn up. There'll be a new earth, a new creation, for God's people in heaven. Yet God has chosen to save a remnant. A small portion. Do you know what a remnant is? If you take the hem of a garment and you flip it up and you look at it, there's a little teeny stream of cloth, of garment that sticks outside of the stitching there on the underside of the cuff. That's what a remnant is. It's what's left over. They didn't know what to do with it. It's just there. He has chosen to save a remnant, a small portion, a people that he shall call unto himself. Why? Why would God do that? Are you with me in Jeremiah chapter 9? Look at verses 13 through 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 13. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the religious folks of the day. He's talking about those guys who dress up in their garments and go around doing all the little trinkets, swinging the trinkets and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about the religious folks, but have walked after their own imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 15, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they not nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come. And let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. There's the judgment our Lord is laying upon Israel. But now he changes and speaks to the remnant. Those who have been called out of darkness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing and every one of her neighbor lamentation. I'm sorry, I got a little bit too ahead of myself there. We're not quite to that part yet where the Lord is speaking to us. For the death has come upon the window, our windows. This is continuing. My apologies. I thought I'd been there already. For death, verse 21, for death has come into our windows and has entered into our places to cut off the children from without and with the young men of the streets. Speak thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, as a handful of the harvest men, and none shall gather them. Now, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, you'll notice that in the scriptures, your Bible may have the things in italicized. That means it's not in the original language. I purposely held that out this morning of my title. For in these I delight. In these what? Wait a minute, we just heard about how the Lord is condemning Israel, the people of God, those who were chosen by God to be representatives, a picture of His chosen people throughout all time, throughout all nations, throughout all tongues. He just condemned them for turning away from His statutes, and yet here He says, I delight in something. What is it the Lord delights in? I'm interested in that. Are you? Are you interested in what delights the Lord God Almighty? Oh, I sure hope you are. In these, what is in these? First it says there in verse 24, I am the Lord. You think that's something our Lord delights in? I am the Lord? Then He says this, which exercise loving kindness. The will of God. You think He delights in the will of God? In His own, in exercising of His own providential means? Then He says, judgment. He delights in judgment. Exercising judgment. He delights in exercising righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. Our Lord says, in these, in those things we just mentioned, we're going to look at those as 4 points. We're going to look at, I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Now first, let's turn a few pages to the left to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to consider what are the things that our Lord delights in. He delights in being Lord of all. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 35. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, in the day that I took them out by the hand and brought them and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with them, the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. Our Lord delights in being the Lord. He is the Lord of all things. In Isaiah 45:7, we read this. He says, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It delights our Creator to reveal who He is to His people. He declares who He is to all the earth, but the earth rejects Him. The people of the earth make themselves out to be gods. That's the free willism of the world. We make ourselves out to be gods when we say, it was by my will that I chose to come and follow after Christ. I exercised my freedom. I made a decision and came to the front of the church. No, that's not what God's word says at all. That's making your will over His. Listen to these familiar words of wisdom in Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He said, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's Lord of all. Peter declared Him who He was. And He said unto Peter, Thou art blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God the Father has to reveal who His Son is. He declared Himself God of everything to the whole world. He even committed miracle after miracle after miracle in front of people, and they still didn't believe it. He went on to say, after telling Simon Bar-Jonah that blessed art thou, He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I mean, in other words, on the rock of Jesus Christ, I will build my church on the rock that I am, God Almighty in the flesh. I will build my church on the rock that I have done all the works necessary for salvation. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock our Lord is speaking of Himself. The fact that He is Lord. And because He is Lord, nothing can separate Him, separate His people from Him. Again, familiar words. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, He says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Folks, the Lord Jesus is Lord of all. And it is His delight to reveal Himself to His chosen remnant, to His people. Listen to what it says in the first chapter of John. John 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. You say, John, we know all these words. You use these words for almost every message. We know this. I love to tell you about my Lord's mercy for His people. I love to tell you about His grace for those that He has died for and given His Son for. Why do I read these words again? Because we could be just like those that are going through this world and go through that door marked death and have never been revealed the truth of who Jesus is. And knowing that I deserve the very thing that the rest of this world is going to receive, knowing that that is what I deserve, magnifies my Lord's grace and love to me in a way that I want to share with others. You see, if the Lord loves you, He will not lose you. If you're one for whom He wrote your name down in the book of life before the world was ever made, He will not lose you. You will come to Him. He makes us willing in the day of His power, in the day of His love. He's God. Is He going to lose anything? No. I like hearing that. Especially in a world that we live in where doubt is all around us. I'm sitting there this morning. And like you all, some of you maybe, some of you not, like most, the world around us is going through my mind. Who can I believe? One tells me you don't need to wear a mask. The other one tells me I have to. One tells me it doesn't do any good. The other one tells me it does this. One tells me to get a shot. The other one tells me it's not going to do me any good. Who do I believe? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Do you trust in Him? Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to go jump off of a bridge somewhere. It's not what we're talking about at all. What I'm telling you is I just don't know who to believe anymore. Except yet I do. I do know who to believe. And I want to tell you about Him. He who is merciful. He who came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of, or nor of the will of man, but of God. We must be born again. That's a simple thing for any of us to understand, right? How are we going to be born again? By the power of God, He who can do everything. That brings me to my second point. And we're going to go through these last three pretty fast. God delights in exercising His loving kindness. He is not bound by the works of man. Our Lord delights in mercy. Look with me over at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know, I'm sorry, Romans 9. Look at Romans chapter 9, if you would please. Our Lord delights in mercy. You say, John, how do you know that? Because mercy is the only reason anyone would be saved. You and I can't do anything to earn or deserve salvation. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. It is by His mercy, His grace, and His love that He saves anybody. That's what I was trying to say a moment ago. We understand, as children of God, as true believers of God's Word, we understand that through God's Word, we deserve hell. We deserve what the Lord was saying to Israel. And it is only by His mercy and His love for me that I am not walking the wide path to destruction. Look at verse 9. For this is the word of the promise, that at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by even one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It is said of her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Our Lord delights in having mercy. He doesn't have mercy and grace to people because they've done something. He does it because it delights Him. Jump over to verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay? The same book, Romans chapter 9. Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel of honor unto honor and the another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, those who are on the wide path to destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, verse 24, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also unto a sea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. That's that remnant we spoke about. God's mercy, saving a people unto himself. How shall they be saved? That's our third point. God took delight in exercising judgment on his son. Look over at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Once again, very familiar words, but good to look at, good to keep in touch with, good to be a reminder of. Just as we come to the table of remembrance to remember what our Lord has done, we come to Isaiah chapter 53 to remember how it pleased our Lord to exercise judgment on his son. That's how the people of God are saved. Our sins were laid upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, if you're not perfectly righteous, you can't be with God the Father in heaven. And there's no way you can be perfectly righteous in this flesh, because everything we do in this flesh is tainted with the sin of the flesh. Here in Isaiah 53, we're talking about the things that delight God Almighty. These things that he delights in. Look at these words declaring his son, who hath delivered us, who hath believed our report, writes Isaiah. Who is going to believe what we've said? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, our Lord, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, laid on his son, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as the sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had no violence. He had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased. Catch that? That's the same word. That's the same word as delight. It pleased. It pleased our Father to strike his son for our sakes. Why? Because that's the only way we can get to heaven. It's through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be washed in the blood, in his blood. It is his blood that cleanses his people, yet it pleased the Lord, verse 10, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That's the same word. Oh, folks, our Lord delights in the fact that his Son gave himself for us. Because it means you and I, God's chosen people, will spend an eternity with him, praising him, glorifying him for his mercy and grace upon us. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Our Lord said this in Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And this brings me to my last point. God delights in the righteousness of his Son. Folks, there is only one righteousness God will accept, and that is the perfect righteousness of his Son. Our sins must be punished. If it were not for the loving kindness of our Lord that he has for us, if it were not for the perfect judgment laid upon our Redeemer, if it were not for his perfect righteousness, all would be spent eternity in damnation, never able to satisfy the justice of God. Yet justice for God's elect has been met. Our iniquities were laid upon him. Our sins were made his. Turn over to the Psalms, if you would, to the left. Psalms number 103. While you're turning there, allow me to read from 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, for God the Father hath made God the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Are you with me in Psalms number 103? Look at verses 1 through 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This is what I'm talking about. This is the song that has been placed in our heart. A new song. Bless the Lord. We don't sing the song of, I decided to follow Jesus. We don't sing the song of, I made a decision to come to the front. We don't sing the song of, I prayed the prayer, now God has to save me. We praise the Lord for salvation. Salvation is of him and of him alone. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. See, that's the problem with the world. Like I said earlier, they don't even know they're oppressed. I didn't. I've heard about hell, but that's not for me. I was never afraid of where I was going until the Lord showed me what I deserve and where I should be going. And then he took that fear away by showing me my Lord went there for me. He made known his ways, verse 7, unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel his strength, that do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all ye works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Lord God Almighty has loved his people from the foundation of the world. Before anything was ever created, he set things to be purposed according to himself. He has loved a people that he has set to receive his mercy, to receive his grace, a people to be called out of the darkness that all mankind were born into. And as we all once walked in that darkness, we see his loving kindness towards us. The very thing that he delights in. We see it pleased the Lord to bruise his son, to put judgment upon his son Jesus for our sakes. We see that it pleased the Lord, God in the flesh, to stand in our stead, that we might experience his grace and give him all the glory. Look at verse 22 again of 103. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What delights my Father in heaven? The Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. There was no John Reeves other than being a recipient of his love for me that pleased the Lord. All blessings, spiritual, all spiritual blessings are in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all through him. What delights my Father in heaven? The Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, and those who are found in him. Let's close, if you would, turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Everything I've listed to you this morning that God Almighty delights in, that God Almighty is pleased in, is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one whose name is above all names. The one whose name every knee shall bow to. The one who will not share his glory with another. Are you with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Let's close with verses 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. We sing a song. To God be the glory, great things He hath done.